It's so good to be here. My name is Sjabulisile. You can call me Sja. Sha, if that works for you as well. I accept all anything that sounds close to a Sja. I know that you are talking about me. I am very excited to be here. I'm very excited about Jesus, just in general. So anything that has to do with Jesus, whether it's his word or worship or whatever, count me in. For those that do know and have been praying for us, thank you so much. You know, I lost my brother a couple of weeks ago, and you guys have been a beautiful, beautiful family, just loving us and praying for us. And I want to say thank you. It's a privilege to be part of this community. And I pray that you would continue to reach out to one another and be there for each other in all good and bad, sickness and in health. That's what family does. So thank you so much. We are continuing the series on Jesus and Mary, and is it Mary and his son? I think that's what it's called. And we're going to read from Luke 1, verses 39 to 56. In the morning, I was planning on, you know, starting from where I had prepared, verse 39 all the way to 56, but then Wes sang that song, my soul magnifies the Lord. And in 2 minutes before I got up, I was like, oh, we're changing this up. We're starting with that because that's Mary's song. And I confused the people at the back. That's why I never have slides, because sometimes things just happen and I change things in my head. So if you're at the back and you hear me saying something that's not on the first slide, it's probably the second or the third. But let's go with the flow. So let's start reading from verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Shall we pray? This is your word, Lord. It is our food. It is only you who can truly satisfy us. And we come to you this evening, humbly asking, won't you please fill us up again? Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you left the glories of heaven so that you could come here on earth and bring us back home. You knew that we wouldn't find our way back. And so you came. And we want to say thank you. We give you glory and honor and praise. And we pray that our lives would truly resemble those who have been bought with such a high price. We love you, Lord. Amen. So, let me start here, where we all kind of get involved, so that we can say, we all preached tonight, and if it sucked, you can say, we all sucked, right? So we're doing this as a group. If you have your Bibles, turn to verse 46, right? And I would like us together to look at the reasons why Mary rejoices and gives thanks to God, her Savior, right? I want us to try and see why this woman, probably very poor, young, pregnant, she's the gossip girl of the town because she's not married, yet she's having a child. She understands that she is blessed amongst all women. But why? Because her circumstances don't say blessed, right? We think blessed is Mercedes Benz, the house, the car, the you know, the spouse. That when we hear blessed, that's kind of what we think of, right? Some of you are saying, I receive. Uh-uh, it's not where we are. But Mary, regardless of her circumstances, knows that she is blessed. But why? What is it that makes Mary so sure that she is a blessed woman? Perhaps Mary knows that she and I and the rest of humanity were a cursed people, and we were to inherit the wrath of God. But then someone was going to come, take on that curse, hang on a cross, so that Mary and I and you could be blessed. So maybe for Mary, it wasn't just about the surroundings. It wasn't about what she had or didn't have. But maybe for Mary, it was about who she had. And I wonder if we can remind ourselves this evening what it truly means to be blessed. So let's go together and look at verses 48, all the way down to 54. What about God has Mary seen, or does she know, that allows her to magnify God and to rejoice in the way she does, regardless of her circumstances? What does she know of God? What can she be certain of? What does it say in your Bibles? You can shout it. Grotiske. Hi, guys. I know we've got a lot of medical doctors here, but no. Yeah, what about God? He notices her. In mine, it says he is mindful of her, her humble state. Don't you ever sometimes wonder if God is aware that you exist? Or is it just me? Where you say, Lord, I don't know if you are still on my corner. Because things aren't quite lining up. Are you still there? Are you still mindful of me? Do you know me? Am I known to you? Are you mindful of me? Do you notice me, Lord? And Mary says, yeah. He is that kind of God that notices you. He sees you. And he's mindful of you. You are in God's mind. He thinks of you. And that, for Mary, is enough to glorify him. 49, what does she say? What about God? Does she say? He has done great things for me, she says. She doesn't just look at what he's gonna do. Listen, she looks back and she says, you have done great things for me. And I'm not gonna choose to just look at the situation now and forget what you have already done. Mary hadn't seen Jesus die on the cross the way we have. We are on the other side. And we can truly stand and say, you have done the greatest thing for me. Taking my sin, allowing me to have a relationship with my Father again. And so when I look at that, when I think of that, Mary says, I will glorify and magnify the Lord. What about in verse 50? What does she say about God? How about this side? I'm not seeing Bibles open. Are they in your heart? Huh? What about God, does it say? You don't have to ask your friend. Guys, if you're used to copying, I can see people who are used to copying. Guys, you have the same Bible. Yeah? Yes. He has mercy. He shows mercy to those who fear him. He is a merciful, kind God. Nothing more beautiful than mercy. We sure do need it. And Mary understands that it is available every single morning. And his mercy is not just for the now. It's for generations to generation. It never ends. And for that, we will glorify you. 51, she says, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. I remember when Israel were about to leave Egypt and they were about to be delivered by God. If you read the Bible, you keep seeing the phrase with his mighty right hand or his righteous right hand. God's hand is powerful and he delivers. And Mary knows what this God has done. Sometimes we forget. When things get a bit tricky, we forget that he is a God who has delivered. And he is a God who actually is able. And his arm, his right arm, is strong and mighty. And we forget that nothing can stand in the way of God. Sometimes we get so caught up in what we are seeing, in what is in front of us, that we forget that we serve a mighty God who is able to deliver. He delivers us, but you know what? He also deals with the proud. In the same verse, while he's performing these great deeds for his humble servants, to the proud, it says, he has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. You might be thinking, Lord, there are people in my life. My boss is not treating me so great. It's not great to be at work anymore. This person is proud. This person throws around his weight, his power, and it's breaking me. I don't know what to do. And Mary says, even in that moment, you can still glorify and magnify him because you know what? He is busy taking care of the proud and he will scatter them. And he doesn't just scatter the proud. He also brings them down. That's what it says in 52. He brings down the rulers and their thrones. He brings down the principalities of this world. We can be rest assured that in the end, there'll be only one ruler standing, and that is Jesus Christ. And with that, we can magnify him. Because as he brings down the rulers of this world, he lifts up the humble. And that's you, feeling very down, unseen, humblest of the humblest. And he says, I will lift you up. And you say, how, Lord? Listen, I will lift you up. The title of this sermon is found at the very last of the verses that we read. It's as it says, just as he promised our ancestors. I want to say this evening, we serve a God who fulfills his promises. And that is why Mary could worship him the way she does, because she has seen his faithfulness over the years. And she says, as I look at him being faithful, just as he had said to our ancestors, I will magnify him. I will glorify him. We don't know when and we don't know how, but we can trust that he's a God who does just as he has promised. And we can hold on to that. And in 53, it says that Mary says that he has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. This is not just wishful thinking that maybe someday I will be filled. This is a Jesus who is the only one who can truly fill the hungers of our souls. I was speaking at a wedding the other day, and I said to the people who are getting married, it's too late for you now because, you know, the question was, how do you know that you're ready to get married? And I said, well, you're here, so it's kind of. But for others who are thinking of getting married, how do you know that your heart is ready? How do you know that you're ready? And I said, it's when you have tasted the true sweet love of Jesus, that it wells up inside you in such a way that it overflows to the person that you think you want to marry. Marriage is not for people who are going in there to look for love. Because from the person that you marry, you will be looking for fulfillment, which only comes from Jesus. Marriage is for people who have tasted the real lover of your soul, the one who fills you up, who fills up every single hunger in you. And then after that, overflow it to those around you. And then it says, but he sends away the rich empty. I just want to say that God is not against rich people. All right? He doesn't have a vendetta against richness. God is a God of abundance. God wants us to have the good things. Right? It's just that sometimes the problem is when we are rich, it's easy to live a life where God takes a back seat and we can just carry on knowing that things will work out because we've got the resources and we've got the money to make the things happen, right? I remember I was pregnant with Junior 14 years ago and I was craving mangoes badly. So I went to Spa and I collected all the mangoes, all the juicy mangoes that I could find. And I went to the till point, and as I'm about to pay, the lady says, oh, how much are these mangoes? And I said, oh, I don't actually know. I just know that I need them. And she says, you just took without looking at the price. You must be rich. And I realized, actually, I could just take without a second thought because I knew that in my account there was money. I didn't even have to ask God for provision because I knew that there was money in the account. Fast forward a couple of years later, I'm playing shop with Pila. She's about 5 at this time. So I buy products from her. She gives me the goods. And then I say, do you have a card machine? She says, yes. I swipe my card. And the 5-year-old with sass says to me, card declined. And I said, girl, what? What do you mean? She says, Mommy, remember when we were at Pick and Pay and your card declined and you tried to use Junior's card? I said, what kind of a shop is this where people dig up dirt from the past? Can we just buy things here and move on? But from that day when my card declined at Pick and Pay and I had to put back the groceries, it was embarrassing. But after that, I guarantee you, I have never bought groceries and have my card go through and it says accepted and never thank God in that moment. Not one time. Whether it is ice cream, whether it is water, whatever it is, when I swipe that card and it goes through, I murmur, thank you, Jesus. Because I know that it is not a given that I will have. And so if you can be rich but still acknowledge God, hallelujah. We don't want to be in a space where we can just survive without God and get by and not be aware that everything that we have, it comes straight from Him. directly from him, and we are to be grateful. And then in verse 54, he says, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. This is a merciful God who remembers. And he helps. I know for women it's very easy to ask for help. We're like, friend, can you please ask me? I'm stuck here. We're very easy. The male counterparts, on the other hand, hey, asking for help is like drinking castor oil. Why don't you guys ask for help? I'm just asking. This is a by the way thing. Why don't you ask for help? He says he's ready to help you. He helps his servants. He loves helping you. Ask him for help. You don't have to be strong. He's the one who's strong and mighty. Ask for help with tears in your eyes. Call a friend. Say, I'm desperate. I know you know me as macho and whatnot, but today, actually, I'm desperate. And I need help. And you ask God. You say, God, come help me. I know you're supposed to, I'm supposed to be the one that figure things out in the home and whatnot, but I need you. Come help me. He's ready. He wants to help you. And you can glorify him for being the kind of God who helps, who comes through for you, who listens, who remembers, and is full of mercy. Don't forget that he is merciful. That is why Mary is so eager to worship him. And then I want us to look at the conversation between Mary and Elizabeth when they meet, right? Right at the beginning of the passage we read. It says in verse 39, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. So Mary hurried, right? Mary had heard from the angel what's going to happen, and she had heard that her relative Elizabeth is also pregnant, which means this story that I'm telling you about, God says, it is true, it is real. If you don't believe me, go check out. You're going to find your relative Elizabeth. She's going to be 6 months pregnant. And Mary believes this, and she heads off. She hurries off to actually really see the story of God unfolding, right? Because she believes it. We're not so much hearing from angels these days, but we do hear from God's word. And it would serve us good when we have heard something of God to go back and hurry back to the Bible and get more of God's story and hear what it's all about and see the story unfolding. We don't usually hurry to the Bible when things go sour, right? When we're sad, we usually hurry to Netflix or Packer Chips, or we hurry to all sorts of things but God, right? No, there's no shame. I can see you hanging your head. Don't hang your head. We all hurry to other things other than God. And I want to encourage us to hurry to Jesus. Hurry to his word. Find ways of making sure that his word is right at your hand. Whether you store it at, you can be creative. Hurry to God's word. Know his story so that you can know how you can partake in it. Yesterday, I was just randomly I was at Ikhayelabantu dropping off something. And then I realized there was a Christmas party there. And a lot of you, Jubilites, were there setting up, making cookies, decorating, serving the elderly at Ikhayelabantu. You hurried there because you have tasted the real love of Jesus. And you've tasted his generosity and his mercy. And you have extended it to others. And that's what Mary teaches us, that when you have been moved by God, you usually move towards other people. And we want to be those people who don't just accept Jesus and then stay in our little bubble, but we want to move towards other people. Hallelujah. And then it says, Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if we read this last week when we did the beginning of the story, but in Luke chapter 1, verse 14, when Zechariah is told that they're going to have a son called John the Baptist, it says about him, "He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is birth." He is born. Now, Mary didn't know that there were such conversations between the angel and Elizabeth and Zechariah about what would happen. But Mary is obedient to wanting to be part of God's story. She rushes over to Elizabeth's house. And then the transaction between Mary and the baby in Elizabeth's womb happens. Right? It's not a coincidence where God sends you. I know that you might not have all the details of what God is doing behind the scenes, but when you step into things in faith, God is always doing a million things behind the scenes, things that you have no clue were in part of God's plan, but now they are fulfilled through you just because you showed up and you hurried towards doing God's things. So Mary finds herself there. She doesn't know that she was part of this story. And I want you to know this morning, you might not know it. You are part of what God is doing. You are part of the greatest story ever written. And God wants to use you. He doesn't need you, but he enjoys involving you. And so as much as Jesus makes the first move towards you, Mary made the move to actually go, take the steps to be part of what God is doing. And so don't wait for the Holy Spirit to push you. Be willing to be part of what God is doing. Remember I told us we had those puzzles those other months back. We had those puzzle pieces. You are part of that puzzle. And you don't know what your role is. But I can guarantee you that you are part of what God is doing. And then he continues to say, in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." And she says, "But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me?" This is a similar response that Mary had, that humility of, "I don't deserve this." A whole mother of the Lord coming to me. So it has been revealed to Elizabeth that the baby that she's carrying is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And she says, "How can it be that he comes to me in my house, in my humble state?" But that is the kind of Jesus that you and I serve. He comes. Oh, he comes. He loves chasing you and coming after you. And let me tell you, he's not going to desert you. Because why would he come running to you to have you so that he can leave you? He could have just not come. Leave you in your state. But he comes. He makes the move towards you. And he's got his eye on you. He loves you and he wants you. And that's the response that we are to have of humility. Why would you, Lord Jesus, leave the glories of heaven, come down to earth just so that you can die for my sin? With that alone, we should well up with humility in our hearts to last us for the rest of our lives. It's a nice litmus test to see whether we've really tasted the merciness of God, whether our hearts are filled with humility or with pride. To test whether we are people of entitlement or we are people who are absolutely grateful for everything that falls from his gracious, gracious hand, and we live every day with thanksgiving in our hearts. When we see that taxi driver driving in front of you, doing the things that he shouldn't be doing, you have an option to put your hand up or hoot or signal things that Christians shouldn't signal. Or you could take a moment and say, "Lord, I am not entitled to be on this road. I am not entitled to even have this car. It is a gift from you. It is a blessing from you. And I thank you. Thank you that I have a car. and I can drive to work. Thank you that I do not have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning like that taxi driver so that he can feed his family. Thank you that you have been so merciful to me that I can wake up at 8 o'clock, come to work at 9. And so with that humility in my heart, I will give thanks to you. Because we want to be children of God when we are seen and when we are not seen. We want humility to rule our hearts, to rule our minds, to fill every single part of us, for us to be made more and more like him. And then it says, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. We sang a song, Isimo Sami Asisoze Saicindezele Indumiso Yam. My circumstances will never suppress my joy. Because our joy doesn't come from our situations and our surroundings. There is no situation that will suppress our joy, because our joy comes from the Lord. And this baby inside Elizabeth leaps for joy because it has come in contact with the King of Kings, the owner of all joy, and the one who gives abundantly. That's the kind of God we serve. And finally, I want to end with this. Mary believed. It says, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Mary believed that she doesn't understand how or why she's the one that's chosen, but she believed that she would actually carry the Son of God. Believing is not an easy thing. I just want to say that. Believing in what you don't see is not an easy thing. It is not an intellectual thing. That is why Paul in Ephesians 3 says, when he's praying for the Ephesians, he says, I pray that being fully rooted and established in his love, that you would grasp, together with all the Lord's believers, that you would grasp how wide and long, how high and how deep is the love of Christ. It's something that is revealed by the Holy Spirit only. We cannot catch it intellectually. Believing comes through the supernatural intervention of the Holy Spirit. And that is why we cannot afford to live without the Holy Spirit. We need him to reveal to us just how much we are loved. Because when we understand that love, nothing will ever suppress us from actually worshiping him. Some of us do know the love of God, do believe in God, but we relate to God the way we related. As I was preparing for this message, I got a sense that some of us relate to God the way we relate to our earthly fathers. Some of our earthly fathers left us. So at the back of our heads, we know that you can have a father and he can love you sometimes, but sometimes he leaves. And God wants to remedy that in your heart, to say it is not true that all fathers eventually leave. I am the kind of father who is mindful, who remembers you, who knows you by name, who's got enough mercy to shower you for the rest of your life. Some of us relate to God the way we think he wants us to relate to him. Maybe we had parents that were never satisfied with what we did. We had fathers who just could never be absolutely happy with our performance. And so we just keep performing, we keep giving, we keep trying. And God wants to say tonight, that is not the kind of God I am. You do not have to perform to come to me, for me to embrace you. You do not even have to perform to other people. You don't have to perform in the church. You don't have to keep doing.
so that you can be accepted. You could literally just come in and sit here and do nothing. And he would love you and rejoice over you and dance over you because he loves you. And so I pray that we would truly believe the message of the gospel, what Jesus says about himself and about us, that he has come to redeem us. He has come to call us home. It says in Isaiah 1 verse 80, come now, let us settle this matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. We want to believe that, and we want to walk in that. And I wonder if we could just take a few moments to just pray. First, I want to pray for anyone who is here today who says, I want to taste this Jesus. I want to believe in this greatest love. I want the Holy Spirit to reveal to me. With our eyes closed, not everything that you've heard tonight is for you, all of it. But there might be just one thing that is for you. And I wonder if you won't just ask God, Holy Spirit, reveal to me tonight, what business do you have with me? He's the only one that knows your heart. He knows your desires. He knows where you are empty and you need him to fill you up. He knows how low you are and you want him to lift you. He sees you. And if you would like to give your life to the Lord this evening, just put your hand up. And we as your family will pray for you and welcome you into your new family. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who sees. Father, I thank you for your Son who is giving his life to you right now. I pray, Heavenly God, that you would keep revealing yourself to him, that it wouldn't just be about tonight, that the devil will not steal away what you've already planted in him. I pray for your protection over him. And I pray that your love inside him would grow. Lord, you know his needs. You know his thirst. You know his hunger. And I pray that you would fill him up in the name of Jesus. I also want us to just pray for those who want to re-understand this love and move away from operating as if God is like our human fathers or our human family, our human parents. If you're wanting new eyes that reveal to you just how kind and merciful this God is, our eyes are closed. Just put your hand up. Father, we pray that won't you do a new thing in your children's life right now in the name of Jesus. You are not the same God as our fathers, as our parents. You are a kind and merciful God. You absolutely delight in us, and we are grateful for who you are. Lord, I pray that you would touch us afresh. Reveal yourself to us. I pray, Lord, that we won't operate according to what we think we know about you, but I pray that you would reveal yourself afresh to us in the name of Jesus. Fill us up, Lord, with your truth. Father, we cancel all lies. Mura baba bondorobosike. Yendarababo korobosienta rabashieka. Muya rababondorobosike. Father, we cancel all lies In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for a new story that you are writing in the lives of these children. Jesu Christo Pilar, you are a God who sees. You are a God who is merciful and kind. And you are a God who delivers on his promises. You do not lie. Break the lies, Lord. In the name of Jesus. You are God Almighty. And your mighty right hand is able to save and is able to deliver. Father, we thank you that we can come in your presence empty and you fill us up. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would truly do a miraculous work in our hearts, renewing us a complete overhaul. That we would have the eyes of Mary and we would see what you have done and we would see what you're going to do in the future, so that the way we live our lives today resembles that truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.